hoods. It's amusing to me when someone says, this is an original hoodie. Bro. It's a hoodie. It's a hoodie. I can't do this.
I'm 1340 WKGN.
I am Warhol. I am the number one most impactful artist of our generation. I am Shakespeare in the flesh, Walt Disney.
Kicking off hour number two in the White Claw Studios, hour two headlines. What do you got for me, Draven?
Another defensive end for the Vikings is going to be gone for the season. Danielle Hunter, he's has surgery to clean up a herniated disc, knocking him out of the 2020 season.
Oh, wow.
So, looks like Minnesota just died,
Vikings
right?
Going full tank mode, huh?
Yeah, put a fork in him, man. Hunter, the highest paid defender could be potentially coming up this offseason because of a contract coming up, or Minnesota has the option to trade him. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do, especially, like I said, with this defense that's kind of feels like a little bit of a rebuild. Kirk Cousins, too. A lot of questions in Minnesota, I feel like. It's going to be interesting to see what they go. But, yeah, it kind of feels like full-on rebuild mode after losing both their star defensive ends, trading away one, losing one to an injury. Other NFL news, got to talk about the Cowboys. Gotta talk about the Cowboys, man. So,
how about them Cowboys?
Mike McCarthy, he got asked about the, you know, anonymous players coming out basically saying they coaches are totally unprepared, just aren't good at their jobs, don't make adjustments on the fly. And McCarthy responded by saying, the anonymous is something we don't want to recognize, but it is important to recognize anything and everything for a teachable moment. So he wants to be a good teacher when the players pretty much came out and said that he can't teach, that that's the one thing he couldn't do was teach the players. But he wants this to be a teachable moment. So just what a mess, man. What a mess. What a disaster. Do you think McCarthy's just – he's lost his locker room? Especially, I mean, he can't teach, and he's like, well, this is a teachable moment. You can't teach, man. The players literally said you can't teach them how to do anything. So how is this a teachable moment?
Teach them what not to learn from a teacher? I don't know. Like, I don't know.
Just
y'all are just a mess.
Yeah, I feel like
I can't believe we couldn't get a dang onside kick. Lord have
mercy. I just feel like the players have pretty much, it kind of feels like they've given up on McCarthy already. Already.
What are you waiting for, Jerry? Just pull the plug. You heard what Jeremy Pruitt said. When you know it's not going to work out, why wait?
That's true.
Why wait?
It's not going to work with McCarthy.
It's not.
Wise man Jeremy Pruitt.
Did you not look? I mean, look, we talk about retreads all the time here. Just retreads and just bringing back recycling coaches. At no point did Jerry Jones stop and think this guy only won one Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers.
With Aaron Rodgers being a key word.
Right. I mean, but like, yeah, no, to me, the key word is only one.
Yeah.
My key word is only one.
One, like, Aaron Rodgers, yeah.
You had Aaron Rodgers and like you underachieved every year except one. Did at no point did Jerry stop and think that? Because I mean, we all kind of thought it about Mike McCarthy. The smart football people did. I'm not, you know, lumping myself into smart football people, although many have said I have an elite football mind. I don't know. But, like, you know, a lot of people are just like, you know, Mike McCarthy was holding Aaron Rodgers back.
Not to mention, like, Matt LaFleur comes in first year. What do? They go 13-3 and go to the NFC Championship game without Mike McCarthy. So,
although, I mean, Rodgers' numbers didn't look good last year. Like, they're kind of winning. But, I'm just saying, like, I wouldn't, you know, last year I could even give a pass to, but like, it just go hire Dan Mullen. Do the right thing, Jerry.
How do you think Dan Mullen would do in the NFL?
Awesome. Dan Mullen's an elite football mind. Dan Mullen is the smartest, one of the smartest offensive coaches in all of football. Not just college football, all of football. He has a good offense every year.
He does.
He's elite. Go hire Dan Mullen, cowards.
We need a defensive coach is what we need. We need somebody with a little toughness, somebody that's going to get in somebody's face and hold these players accountable, man.
That sounds like it, yeah. Yeah, it's good. That'll work in the NFL.
You're telling me you can't
you
have that little bit
you
of...
You got to have a player's coach.
You got to have a little bit of a fear factor in there.
No. Name what? Name
Belichick. You don't think they don't fear Belichick a little bit, or at least fear penalty from from the, I mean, the like, team they probably, from Belichick?
I mean, I don't know. When's the last time the Patriots even punished anybody? I don't even remember them like punishing anybody, really. I mean, like, Belichick's always going to be an outlier just because they win so much. But, like, the rest of the NFL, the best NFL coaches are, like, players' guys.
Yeah.
Run through the lock, the rest of the top five. Andy Reid's not, I mean, he's a player's coach.
Mm-hmm.
You throw him very
Mike, Ray, I mean, yeah. I won't say he's the third best coach in the league. I'm not saying that. But he's if you want to go that name next, I mean, he's a player's coach.
He is.
Pete Carroll's a player's coach. Mike Tomlin's a player's
Raheem
coach.
Raheem Morris, like, is a player's coach.
There are no, like, disciplinarian coaches in the NFL. Like, that doesn't work. Like, all those guys have failed.
But you got to have somebody that at least – you got to have a player's coach, yeah, but you got to have somebody that knows what they're doing, man. No, you can't have like – I mean, well, yeah, you have look to have, at Mike McCarthy, you have to have
someone, you have to have someone who knows what they're doing, but, like, you don't have to have, like, a hard-ass coach. I'm just saying there's not many of those in the NFL. Like, that it comes down to respect. And, like, they respect you if they think you're smart. Like, and they don't think Mike McCarthy is smart. It's not about, like, punishment. Like, those guys are professionals. Like, you can't – you can do that in college because you have ultimate power over players. You can end their livelihood, their quest for money. Like, you can bury them on the depth chart. They can have to transfer out of the program. Like, you can make it really, really tough on them. Or you could do something at the end where you're not giving them the cosign, the bump at the next level, and you're going to tell the people wanting to interview them or, you know, interview them for getting drafted or whatever that they're not good players. They're not good people. You have a lot of control in college football. The authoritative – model there. The dictatorship works in college football because you have too much power. In the NFL, that doesn't work, man. If you don't have the locker room, you're going to lose your job. You have to be able to do both. They have to respect you. They don't have to be scared of you, but they have to respect you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it comes down to. Like I said,
I think so, yeah. I just, accountability, too. I think you got to hold players accountable.
You do, but like, I mean,
there,
like,
there has to be a degree of that.
You do, but again, it really comes down to whether or not they respect you.
Yeah, and obviously, Mike McCarthy has zero.
It seems as if
right
he has zero respect.
Zero.
Yeah, I mean, it seems zero. As if they don't care about that Super Bowl that he won 10 years ago, or I guess 9 years ago at this point. They look at that and probably say it's Aaron Rodgers. Like, they're there and they're looking at him and saying, "You haven't taught us anything."
Man, what a mess.
I'm trying to think of who the biggest badasses in the NFL coaches circles are, like, in terms of, like, guys I wouldn't consider players coaches, because I feel like, again, at the top, pretty much everyone has to be that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Zimmer doesn't really seem like a player's coach. Like, he'd be one, like, in the, you know, he's...
Looks like he's about to get canned.
Yeah, but he's had a little run there.
Yeah,
he's had a little bit of a run as a defensive, like, badass. Mm-hmm. Okay, he'd be one.
But I think he has at least had respect.
No, he has.
Kind of the job, just because he was a known defense coordinator.
Like, well, plus, they also had just elite offensive coordinators. They had two get plucked for jobs. Like, I mean, he's had a good offense, too.
But, I mean, like you said, Mike McCarthy, I think people question him kind of coming in anyways. And now it's just... It's got bad.
I was surprised when they hired him.
I liked the hire. I thought getting a veteran coach who's been around, and also the fact that he sat around, or supposedly sat around for a year because he didn't coach last year, right? He was supposedly, you know, sitting around with the coaching staff he has now, watching film, going over what they need to do better to be better coaches, yada, 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 and then they come out and look like this.
Yeah, say what you need to get a job.
I guess, man.
La,
might be out of a job soon. Moving on to the Cleveland Browns, another team. Ugh, rough loss. Rough loss Sunday. And Baker Mayfield, he's feeling it. He's feeling that loss. He said, yeah, I'd say the feeling throughout the building after that loss, 4-2 has never felt so much like 0-6 before. Ouch. Odell says, I'm pissed. At this point, I don't really care to keep trying to make myself look like a good guy to the world and all that. Tired of losing. Tired of losing to good teams. So are we selling the Browns? I mean, is it what do we think about the Browns after this loss? Because a lot of it was about the Steelers and how good the Steelers are, how good that defensive is. Is the Browns, is it just the same old Cleveland Browns team, same old team that just can't win a big game?
Browns gonna brown.
Kind of looking like it.
Who the Browns got this week?
Bengals.
Mm, yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
Okay, yeah. I mean, well, you can't really prove your point of getting back on track against good teams there, but, like, you got to beat the Bengals.
Yeah. I mean, if they keep beating bad teams, I mean, no.
We looked at their schedule. They're going to be a playoff team. They just got to beat bad teams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They got a chance November 1st against the Raiders. That'll be a game where two teams that are trying to go for that wild card spot. Yeah. That'll be a really big game. So get back healthy against the Bengals, and then you have a big game before your bye week against the Raiders. But they're not going to have too many good chances against good teams the rest of the year. They play at Tennessee, Baltimore, and Pittsburgh. Those are the only three good teams they play left after the Raiders. So
they already got smoked by Baltimore and Pittsburgh in those games. So, yeah, Yeah, pretty easy schedule. I guess when you play the NFC East, it's just...
And then you also get the Bengals twice. Like...
Yeah. Yeah. Not too shabby. But it is going to be kind of interesting.
Jealous.
What about Baker Mayfield, man?
I don't like Baker.
We got to be selling Baker's stock at this point, right?
Sell.
Rough year last year, and this year kind of feels like he's holding the team back again. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Also, Jarvis Landry reports that he has a broken rib he's been dealing with the last couple weeks. So, have to keep eyes on that. He said it happened in the Colts game, which he was able to play through it last week, but still.
Love how that stuff always comes out after losses.
Yeah, it does.
So convenient.
Pretty much. Moving on to the basketball, to the courts, NBA, Tyronn Lue coming in. Tyronn Lue with the Clippers, excitement. Steve Ballmer even went to say that Tyronn Lue is the best coach in the NBA. he called him. He said, frankly, the best coach in the NBA when talking about Tyronn Lue. A little bit of a bold statement.
Now, said that?
Steve Ballmer. Steve Ballmer went to say his head coach is the best in the NBA after he – had him as an assistant coach. You think he would have been a head coach last year if he was the best coach in the NBA. But anyways, Tyronn Lue did come out and kind of talk about the job, the overall, I guess, team camaraderie with the Clippers here. And he said the on-court chemistry was an issue due to the lack of continuity. So he kind of felt like this team was separated. And I think a lot of that was, based on how that Doc Rivers treated Kawhi and them.
I mean, yeah, like that's
special treatment for the star players.
That's good. Like, I mean, I saw reports yesterday that the Clippers are going to break up that roster. Now, I don't know what that means. Maybe you just clear house of everybody except Paul George and Kawhi Leonard and Zubac because he's under contract. Like, Montrezl Harrell's a free agent. Let him go. Lou Williams, let him go. Like, how many times do we need to see Lou Williams choke in the playoffs before we know that he can't get it done? Get rid of Patrick Beverley. Trade him. Get him. Send him somewhere.
You're keeping PG though.
Yeah, I mean, I just think you'd be selling low on PG.
Yeah.
Unless you could trade, you don't really have any draft picks to trade anymore because you sent all the ones you could trade right now to Oklahoma City. What they really need, though, and, I think that you'll check the market to see what you can get for Patrick Beverley, too, because they said they need a point guard. Kawhi Leonard apparently wants a point guard. They can actually set up and create the offense, which, many say I have a big brain in football, but the NBA big brain is well documented as well. I said going to be their problem all last year was that they don't have any creators on offense. Kawhi doesn't want to have to create the offense. Paul George can't create the offense. Lou isn't a point guard, and Patrick Beverley can't do it. And Kawhi Leonard after the season is we need a point guard. We need somebody who can create offense.
Yep.
Now, I don't know what point guards are on the market. I know you could probably get one of those backups in Brooklyn. And you could put Patrick Beverley out there with KD and Kyrie, and maybe he could help, bring some toughness there. But, Didwinnie or LeVert.
I believe LeVert. Is he a free agent?
No. Both those guys. Both those guys are going to be on the roster, and you could trade them. Didwinnie might be a free agent, but restricted. So, I think they would bring him back. So, maybe it would be a sign trade. But, they need a point guard. So, I would be surprised if Beverley was gone, along with Montrezl Harrell and Lou Williams. Kind of clean house with everybody.
Yeah, well, they also talked about, the whole we never got to play with each other that much. Because
Doc Rivers went out saying, Doc Rivers, that's Doc Rivers. Doc Rivers went to his deathbed on the Celtics saying, we never lost a playoff series with my five. Whenever we were healthy, we never lost a playoff series. He kept saying that, riding that 2008 championship. He said that all the way through 2013. Because in 2009, KG got hurt, and that team might have won the title in 2009 because the Celtics were probably better in 2009 than they were 2008. We probably would have got another Celtics-Lakers matchup. And then in 2010, they're like, oh, Kendrick Perkins got hurt in Game 6 or else we would have won. Oh, we never lost a series with our starting five.
What do we think of Ballmer calling Lou the best coach in the NBA?
If you're Steve Ballmer, you want the best of everything. He probably thinks he does have the best coach. He probably believes it. Steve Ballmer's crazy. He probably does believe it.
Man,
I do think Ty Lue is going to be the right coach for them in terms of holding their stars accountable, though. That was apparently his strength in Cleveland, was yelling at LeBron, making LeBron see that he wasn't above everyone else. Or at least, maybe not that, but at least knowing that he's accountable. Yeah. Hey, you got to do your job. Hey, you have to – we need more from you. I'm not going to coddle you type of thing. He's a superstar, but we're going to demand the most from you. So I wouldn't be surprised if halfway through the year we have a story where Kawhi Leonard is mad that Ty Lue has yelled at him.
I was about to say, I'm curious to see how Kawhi would respond to that, because, I mean, I doubt Nick Nurse was getting on to
him. Well, he didn't like being singled out by the Spurs, especially like their training staff about his injury. So, like, I don't know how he'll take it. I don't know how Paul George will take it if he's yelling at both of them. But they also can't just baby him, because that didn't work either. Good batch of headlines. Stick with us. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. The Drive's going to be live at Hops and Hollers on Friday.
Ooh.
Brought to you by Terrapin Brewing. Terrapin Brewing also is going to be sponsoring the Voluntary Reaction.
I think they're doing a bunch of deals during that, too, on Terrapin stuff.
Are they?
Yeah, and I think there's giveaways and everything.
If you Whether you're taking Terrapin to your tailgate, your couch tailgate, or celebrating responsibly at your local bar, restaurant, Terrapin Beer Company has a beer for you. Try their flagship beer, Terrapin Hopsecutioner. A 7.3% killer IPA.
That is a good one. I got a couple Terrapins on drafted hops right now.
Yeah, they said at draft. They said for the remote on Friday, there will be multiple drafts that will be featured. Yeah. You can grab your tailgate supplies with Terrapin 6-packs or 12-packs to go. Terrapin swag and prizes will be up for grabs all afternoon. So go by. See the Drive guys on Friday. Go let Cam cook you some food.
I may have to make an appearance.
Speaking of which, I just got a text from Todd from Hops that says we need some advertisers in Dallas for as much as Draven talks about the Cowboys.
I know somebody out there. I'll have to see what I can do.
I mean, they are. I mean, it's a fact that the Cowboys are nationwide. I mean,
yeah.
I would like to see the breakdown. I've always been interested in the actual breakdown of like what your fandom is. Per city, like what Knoxville's fandom is.
I'm sure there's something that has that.
I doubt we
pulled it.
Like. Yeah, I mean, you could look, but I doubt there's been like a year to year breakdown. I'd like to see the switch. Like, you know, obviously 10 years ago, there have been a lot of Colts fans in Knoxville. Yeah. Then, you know, 2015 would have been a lot of Broncos fans. That coincided with the Titans stinking. I would like to see the citywide breakdown, because I would say Dallas and both, you know, Pittsburgh, both, you know, national brands would be well represented here in Knoxville.
Yeah, but I know quite a few people around here that like Pittsburgh.
And I would like to see how that shifted, you know, over the years from the Titans. Like, when they're good, more people care. When they're bad, less people care. And it does seem like now there's a lot of quote-unquote free agents who have hopped on the Titans wagon. I would like to break down that, though. Because I do feel like the Cowboys would be represented pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously. We got a lot of Cowboys. I mean, I'd say that's the second biggest fan base we have listening to our show, NFL-wise. Huh. I was going to say, we talked a little bit about the NBA and the Clippers and all that. Just going to, before we got to an NFL segment at 1:30 with Jordan Ajani, I was just going to run down. ESPN just put out the list of the best free agents this offseason. Not a lot of guys. Not a lot of guys in terms of the best free agents. I think this is going to be a crazy like trade season. Yep. You're going to have like potential stars or borderline stars getting traded, like Victor Oladipo and maybe Bradley Beal. Bradley Beal had a masterclass yesterday, or at least 2 days ago, when asked about like his future in Washington. Whoever his PR team is deserves a raise, because he was like, I love Washington. I want to retire in Washington. This is my favorite place. I owe it to win here, blah, blah, blah. Great speeches. And then at the end, I was like, but the most important thing is winning. He put over the city, talks about how much he loves the Wizards. But then at the end, I was like, but the most important thing to me is winning. AKA, if we're not winning, please get me out of here. And everyone knows they're not going to be winning. So he'll be like, okay, well, I said I want to win more than anything. So please get me out of here. But yeah, they listed their top free agents. And like I said, number one, Anthony Davis. He's not a free agent.
He's locked up. Yeah.
He's not a free agent. The second best free agent. I don't know what this name will do for the people, but the second best free agent right now listed is Fred VanVleet.
Okay.
I mean, Fred VanVleet's good.
Yeah.
But I don't know if Fred VanVleet is getting anybody excited if they sign him.
I could just see the Knicks already just overpaying him so much and him just not being as good as he was.
See, I don't think he's a big enough name for them to overpay.
Somebody's going to overpay
him. I would just say just with the lack of people, somebody may do it.
I think the Raptors will pay him.
Well,
yeah, that would make sense.
I think the Raptors pay him. I don't think he's a free agent either. I'd be surprised if he got –
Maybe the Knicks or somebody would throw stuff at
him. That's what Dre was saying. But they've been linked to, like, Russell Westbrook and Chris Paul. Like, they want a star.
They've been linked to every free agent slash any player that's maybe
right, but I'm just saying, like, this last month, they've been talking about putting a package together for Chris Paul. Like, they want him. I would be surprised if they broke the bank for Fred VanVleet. I think he would end up back in Toronto.
Maybe, like, the Pistons or somebody. Somebody just with some cap room that would, you know, want somebody to kind of.
I don't know. I think he ends up back in Toronto.
Yeah, that would probably be my guess.
Number three, the best center, the best third best free agent according to ESPN. This is a name that probably I would bet a lot of money that Hayden, maybe Draven. I don't know what your level of basketball fandom is. I know Hayden, you consider yourself an NBA fan, but not really like the kind of playoff guy, right?
He's a bandwagon Heat guy, yeah.
I mean, I watch some games of the regular season, but
Right. I would feel pretty confident that you do not know who this guy is, or at least know who he plays for. The third best free agent in the NBA this offseason would be Christian Wood.
Ooh, I love Christian Wood.
I have no idea who that is.
You know Christian Wood?
Yeah. Who is it?
Plays for the Pistons.
Yeah.
Big guy.
Yeah.
Pretty sure he was one of the first players to get COVID as well.
I have probably not watched
him. He was one of the first guys.
I mean, he was good last year, but I'm saying, like, that, those are we've gotten to the two biggest free agent names this offseason are Christian Wood and Fred VanVleet.
I mean, Christian Wood was pretty good last year.
Christian Wood is good. It's just because he plays in Detroit.
It's not about the skill level. I'm just saying it's all about names. Yeah. Like, no one's going to be excited. Enough. Like, oh, Christian Wood's going so-and-so. Like, that's not moving any needles for people.
Fair enough.
I'm not downplaying his talent. I think Fred VanVleet's really good, too. I'm just saying, like, no one's getting excited about
that. Fair enough.
Number four is Brandon Ingram. He's restricted, though. He's not going anywhere. The Pelicans will re-sign him. And number five, Davis Bertans.
No, boy.
Hayden, do you know Davis Bertans?
Heard the name. I'm not exactly sure what he plays for.
Okay.
He's in your division, I guess.
Yeah. He was with the Spurs for a while. They inexplicably traded
him. That's where I've heard of him.
They inexplicably traded him last year so they could sign Marcus Morris, and then he bailed on them, so they basically gave Bertans away for nothing. He plays for the Wizards, and he's an unrestricted free agent at the age of 28. He is, again, that's your free agent class so far this year. Christian Wood, Fred VanVleet, and Davis Bertans.
Thanks, I hate it.
I've actually never heard of that Christian Wood guy before.
Really? Played at UNLV?
I don't think I've seen a Pistons game in years.
Running Rebel?
Bogdan Bogdanovich, do you know who he is, Hayden?
Yeah.
Where does he play?
I don't know where he plays. I know who he is, though.
I don't know how to verify it if you don't know where he plays.
Let's see.
What's he at least known for, then? Do you know his specialty?
I feel like you give it away with the name Bogdanovich.
I guess so, yeah. Pretty much. It makes it easier for sure.
Malik Beasley, Danilo Gallinari, Derek Jones Jr., Hassan Whiteside. That's the top 10 in terms of free agents this offseason. So,
Gallinari will end up on a contender, I think.
Yeah, he said he'd give up a bunch of money to win a ring. That's what he said. But, like, yeah, just that's why whenever you see there's so many teams with free agent space, there's so many teams that want to improve their team, there's so many teams that want to try to win, that I do think you're going to have a crazy trade season just because – there aren't any free agents that are going to move the needle.
Yeah.
You could theoretically add Gordon Hayward to this list if he opts out of Boston, although no one thinks he's going to give up $34 million. But when you see the rest of the free agents he would be competing with, hell, he might be the biggest name if he opts out after Anthony Davis and Fred VanVleet re-signed, so maybe he would. But this is going to be a crazy NBA offseason, like I said, trades. And also, like, we are getting two championship contenders coming back out of nowhere. Like, everyone who was good last year is going to, you know, pretty much try to be good again. And then we're going to add in two top five teams that are going to be at least top five championship contenders, with the Golden State Warriors being healthy again and having the number two pick overall. And the Brooklyn Nets, who are going to have Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving and some trade pieces as well. Both the Warriors and the Nets are the most intriguing teams this offseason because the Warriors have the number two pick, an Andrew Wiggins contract they can trade, and the Brooklyn Nets have, you know, a couple of really good young players, Jared Allen, Spencer Dinwiddie, and Caris LeVert, that they could try to trade to find another star to go along with Kyrie and Durant. There was a random October NBA offseason. Oh, this is usually when we do our NBA offseason, so maybe it's not that random. Like, the season's supposed to be starting, like, this week.
Yeah.
Our timeline's been so thrown off. But we'll get back into the NFL next after the break. We'll go to the G3 Help Me Hotlines, and we will grab Jordan Najani of CBS Sports, and we'll talk. I'm sure we'll talk some Titans, Steelers, and the rest of the NFL. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Hey, it's Jamie with Old Ben Franklin Motors on.
All right, let's bring on Jordan Najani, CBS Sports. He joins us on the G3 Help Me Hotlines. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident, go to g3helpme.com. Speaking of helping, Jordan DeJani helped all of you make some money with his Stone Cold Lock of the Week last week. Mm-hmm. Dolphins, -9, never in doubt.
Never in doubt.
Never in doubt. Welcome to the show, Jordan DeJani. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, John. Hey, I love the Christian Wood talk. I knew him as an intern with the Greensboro Swarm. He was our best player. I wondered why it took him so long to get a shot in the league. Yeah, I thought I was coming out here to talk about my G League stories, but I'm glad I could make you guys some money over the past week. I'm going again to the well. I'm going to take...
Slow down. Don't give your pick away yet. We got to save it.
Oh, this time I have another lock for you guys. Don't worry about it. I'm just saying I'm going back. I'm going back to the same thing. I mean, if you've bet against the Jets every single week this year, you've made money. They're the only team that hasn't been able to cover the spread yet. So I had to give you something else that's a sexier pick than just going back to betting against the Jets. But, yeah, continue.
How did you do last week in your picks?
I did okay. I knew that I was facing the most challenging week so far. Yeah. I think I went 9-5.
Okay, that's good.
Falcons.
Damn. 9-5 was good last week. Last week was tough on me. Now, granted, we felt good about the Packers, and that didn't go so well for us.
Yeah, I definitely missed the Packers one, but I had some good ones. Like, I called the Falcons money line upset. That brought in some good chunk of change as well. But, yeah, I mean, you got to have a winning record, or I'm not going to be able to publish my picks anymore for CBS. So, this is another tough week, but I'm confident. So, it's going to be fun to watch.
We talked about Miami, of course, the big news out of there. Ryan Fitzpatrick benched. He hasn't been taking it so well in the media. He's been letting them know about it, which has been a little surprising, but it's refreshing to see somebody be so candid. Do you think the Dolphins are making the right decision by making the switch to Tua?
Yes, I do, and I think it's a great time because they're entering the bye week. But you're right. Let's not bury the lead here. In my opinion, the lead is Ryan Fitzpatrick's reaction, because all offseason and all throughout the first 6 weeks of the regular season, it's been him saying, you know, I know that Tua is the eventual quarterback. I'm just keeping the seat warm from him. I'm going to be his biggest cheerleader whenever they make the switch over to him. And then the first day they do, he's coming out saying he's completely heartbroken. It hurt for him to be on the same Zoom call with Tua and his coach who just demoted him to backup. I thought his reaction was really, really weird, especially considering like everything he said earlier this preseason and just the guy who he is. I mean, Tua is a first-round draft pick. Ryan Fitzpatrick just celebrated his 70th birthday. We knew the switch was coming eventually. So I was very surprised to see his reaction. But I do think that it's the right decision right now. They drafted Tua to be the leader of this franchise. The Dolphins aren't doing so bad right now in the win column. So I like the decision.
It seems – I mean, I understand Fitzpatrick's frustration because, like you said, he said all the right things. But in his mind, he was probably thinking, like, hey, I'm going to lose this job when we struggle. When we're out of the race, when the season's over, he's probably looking and saying we're 3-3. We just won two games impressively. You know, they blew out the 49ers, they blew out the Jets, and he's probably thinking, hey, we have a chance to make the playoffs. As he said, this is my team, so I understood his frustration and maybe feeling like he's blindsided, but I have been surprised to hear him basically say, yeah, yesterday felt like I had to sit on Zoom for 4 hours with the guy who fired me, looking at the guy who replaced me, and it was just really tough. A little surprised about that. What about the big news of the last 2 days? Antonio Brown maybe linked to Seattle. Dez Bryant maybe linked to the Ravens practice squad. Yannick Ngakoue traded to Baltimore. What's the biggest news as far as you're concerned in the NFL right now?
Yeah, it's probably Antonio Brown, to be honest with you. I mean, I knew that he was going to be able to get interest once he comes off of his suspension. I knew that the Seattle Seahawks were definitely going to be one of the favorites, but I was a little surprised by the report saying that, I think it was by Schefter, saying that he's going to have several teams that are interested in him. So it's going to be interesting to see which ones are the favorites other than the Seahawks, kind of breaking down where those fits might be. And if you're asking me where it might be, I honestly do not know. I mean, Antonio Brown is an interesting character because, yeah, he's a great talent, but at the same time, are you going to take that chance taking that potential virus into your locker room? In terms of Yannick Ngakoue, that one surprised me as well. You know, I haven't watched a ton of him, I guess. I saw him make a couple of good plays against the Falcons last week. But, I mean, he was with this team for 6 weeks, and all of a sudden he was traded again. So I think the Baltimore Ravens obviously get better. They shore up that defensive front, and I think that they need to do so if they want to be a true competitor in 2020.
Do the Ravens move themselves up ahead of – where do you have the Ravens right now in the AFC power rankings and the NFL power rankings? I know that was your pick before the year in terms of them winning the AFC and the Super Bowl. Their offense ranks 18th in DVOA. It's been a little disappointing, but the defense has been really good and maybe gets better today. What are your thoughts on the Ravens right now?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it hasn't been incredible so far. Their offense has not been as consistent. You know, Lamar Jackson has really struggled to throw downfield. I still think that they are in a good spot. I mean, I think they're 5-1, so obviously that's a good spot. And, you know, it's funny because I'm not trying to push the narrative saying that the Ravens are going to be destined to win the Super Bowl, but remember last year the Chiefs struggled because Patrick Mahomes went down with that injury and they lost in Week 10. They were at 500 at one point in time, and then they went on this huge win streak. So there's a lot of parallels between the Chiefs last year and the Ravens this year. So I have enough confidence saying that they are going to put it together, but that division seems tough. The Pittsburgh Steelers obviously seem for real.
So you still feel good about your Ravens pick? That's what I'm bringing out of this?
I mean, I can't really change it.
You
can. I don't know.
You
how,
have more data now. It's right. Okay. You don't have to dig your heels in. We need to know that you can adapt. You still feel good about it?
I feel good about it. Probably not as good as I did in the preseason, but I still feel good enough.
No caveats. I gave you a chance to get out of it. You stayed in there, so you are locked into the Ravens. You brought up Pittsburgh, the biggest game of the year, so far at least, besides that Monday night Chiefs-Ravens game that turned out to kind of be a snooze fest. What's Nashville like? I know you're based in Nashville. How's the city holding up right now as they get set for this big-time matchup?
Yeah, I think everyone's really, really excited. I mean, a battle of undefeated teams. We're going to find out if the Tennessee Titans are going to take another leap forward in terms of public opinion, right? I mean, everyone in Nashville is always excited for the Titans, but if they're able to take down the Steelers, an undefeated team who people are very high on right now, I think that's going to be, you know, a huge headline heading into, you know, the mid part of the season. So everyone's really excited for this matchup. I'm staying away from it in terms of my money because I feel like my heart's in it. I really want the Titans to win, but I'm not 100% confident in it. So I'm just really excited to kind of sit back and watch that game.
I'm kind of shocked you admitted your heart was in it. That's not very journalistic of you, Jordan. It's not very journalistic of you to admit your heart was in it. But correct me if I'm wrong. I feel like the attention is already here for the Titans. I mean, I saw Mike Greenberg today say that Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry was making history, pointed out that they are the first quarterback-running back duo ever in NFL history. Draven, pay attention to this. Not Dak Prescott, not Ezekiel Elliott, not Troy Aikman, not Emmitt Smith, not Tony Romo, not DeMarco Murray. Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry, the first duo ever to have 30 passing touchdowns and 2,000 rushing yards in a 16-game sample size. He said that they are the best 1-2 punch in the NFL. The Titans' offense was all over Pro Football Focus's Offensive Players of the Week. The air player of the week was Tannehill. The ground player of the week was Henry. I think the cat's already out of the bag. I think the Titans have a lot of attention right now. Jordan, do you disagree?
Oh, no, I agree that they have a lot of attention, but I feel like it's ramping up. Don't you think that they're going to have even more attention if they take down an undefeated team in the Steelers here in Week 7 at home? I think that's going to be a huge storyline. And yeah, a lot of people are already talking about it, but that's when I think the pressure, the momentum, the hype really ramps up. Do you remember when the Titans went 10-0? I think it was in like 2008, yeah. And they had their own little byline on ESPN that went by as like NFL, NBA, college football, then just Titans. That's the kind of hype I'm looking forward to.
I remember the season. I don't remember the ESPN ticker giving us our own section, but okay. All right. That's what we're trying to get back to. And I will say, you know what? You're right, because we're getting attention, but I'm still getting mad. I find myself getting mad on Tuesdays when I see all these other power rankings still putting us at like number 5 or number 6. Give us our credit. Put us at number 2 behind the Chiefs. That's where we belong. And after Tennessee beats Pittsburgh on Sunday, maybe we'll get that respect. Maybe you're onto something there. All right, let's get to your picks. Let's get to your picks. You're red hot. What are you for the season? I'm looking at you right here. You're what for the season? 53-33?
53-33 against the spread, correct.
You're picking every game every week too, right?
Yes.
I gotta be honest, good. That's really impressive. Yeah, that's good. Hayden, you're our quick math guy. What is 53 out of 86? What percentage is he at right now? Do you know Jordan? It seems like you're over 60%, just like to my small brain. Can we get the math there? Where's he at? Take your time.
Like over 60. 62 almost.
All right, well, I want a precise number. Where are we at?
61.6. Right here.
61.6?
Okay, so 62.
That's really damn good. All right, Jordan, so you got your picks up right now, CBSSports.com. tell us your top five where you picked for CBS Sports, and then we'll go with your lock of the week next. What games have caught your attention?
I'm not going to give you my top five because I need your listeners to click on the article.
Okay, fair enough.
I will give you a couple.
Okay.
I'm going with the Bills over the Jets. The Bills are 13-point favorites right now, I believe. Again, the Jets have yet to cover the spread, but I know you guys want something sexier than that.
No, we just want money.
Okay, well, take that one. That's definitely a lock, but I'll give you a nice two-team parlay here, okay? The other team I'm looking at is a team that you and I were high on last week but did fall into the loss column for the first time in 2020, Green Bay Packers against the Houston Texans.
Okay.
They're 3.5-point favorites against the Texans.
And seems low.
Yeah, that's an interesting number, but I did think that the spread would have been a little higher. So I think this is a nice chance for them to have a bounce-back game. The Texans have definitely improved since firing Bill O'Brien, but this is a great opportunity for the Packers to prove that they're a legitimate contender. They're 4-0 against the spread versus teams with losing records. More importantly, they're 9-0 against the spread following their last 9 against the spread losses. So history indicates that they're going to be able to cover the spread. The spread isn't something like 6, 6.5. It's at 3.5 right now. So I'm jumping on the Packers this week.
I do think there's some big potential here that the Texans quit after what happened to them last week. Like I thought that Titans-Texans game was a little misleading. I think the Titans were driving up to go 28-10, and maybe you bury the Texans there, but instead that game got away from them quickly. I do agree. I think the Packers bounce back. You know, they've been known to bounce back after losses. You know, last year they lose to the Eagles. They come back. They beat Dallas by 10. They no-show against the Chargers. They bounce back. They beat the Panthers by 8. And they were dominating that game, I think, and the Chargers might have gotten a late touchdown. Or maybe I'm misremembering. Either way, they stopped Christian McCaffrey at the goal line. They won by 8. They got beat down by the 49ers and then bounced back and killed the Giants. So they have bounced back in these situations since LaFleur took over. Is that your lock of the week? That's what you're giving us? Packers minus 3.5?
Yes.
Okay. You heard it there. Anything else you want to plug?
Yeah, I got to sit down with Ryan Tannehill this week, and you didn't even ask me about it. I was kind of surprised about that.
I know. We were talking about that on Sunday, and then it came out on what, Monday? Or Tuesday?
Tuesday, I think. Tuesday.
Oh, yeah. Give me the quick highlights of that. What did he say? Tell the audience. What did he say?
He was a great guy. I think the whole project was kind of centered around, you know, he's a humble guy, but he's become one of the better statistical quarterbacks in the NFL, so I kind of wanted to get some reaction to that. That wasn't just kind of word say, right? So I did get some good response. I kind of asked him how the year, just the past calendar year, has been for him. And I think he gave his best answer saying, you know, obviously it's been a lot of fun. But even though people are starting to wake up to the fact that the Titans are a good team and that Ryan Tannehill is a legitimate starting signal caller, he still prepares every single week like there's a backup behind him ready to take his job. So he feels like his job's on the line every single week. He prepares like it is. And because of that, it keeps that mentality sharp, and that's why he's been able to find so much success. So I thought that was a good answer. Check out that interview on CBSSports.com.
Did you do what I asked you to do, which was paint Arthur Smith as an idiot? That way nobody want to hire him? Did you make Arthur Smith look stupid?
See, this is when the personal interests get involved, and yeah. I didn't want to do that because I'm totally with you. You made a great point, but I didn't necessarily want to go down that path just yet.
Yeah, fair enough. Although I've been reading some stories about Arthur Smith, and some people say he doesn't want to be a head coach, says he doesn't want the pressure. Like, you know, he's a Tennessee guy. He's already a billionaire. You know what I mean? He's got the FedEx empire. Like, he just wants to kind of hang out in Tennessee and, you know, maybe be the offensive coordinator. That's what I'm hoping. Maybe he doesn't want the pressure of coaching the Houston Texans or someone like that. All right, Jordan Najani, I'll tweet out both of those articles because you sounded a little disappointed in me that I didn't give you the rub on the Ryan Tannehill story. So I will tweet out. I retweeted it when it came out Tuesday, but I'll tweet them both out, your picks. 61%. Man, you're killing it. Go read his article. Make some money. Hell, he's doing better than we're doing. We'll talk to you next week, Jordan. Appreciate you.
All right. Sounds good. See you guys.
Jordan Jane joined us on the G3 Help Me Hotlines. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident, call the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III. Visit G3HelpMe.com or call them at 865-558-8030. They've been serving all of East Tennessee with over 20 years of experience. Let the G3 team get you the money you deserve. That's G3HelpMe.com. Speaking of getting money, 61%. Woof.
Yeah.
Picking every game. That's stout.
And he tweeted out a stat earlier yesterday about how favorites are like 40-49 against the spread, too. So he's nailing some of those upsets.
Let's go to break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Fan Run Radio has made the switch. We are now a...
Why do you idiots do this every commercial break? How many times do I have to tell you not to do radio during the commercials? And now Draven's so explosive. He's so good.
He gets into it.
He's so good off the air. He's so good off the air. He comes out here spitting all these stats. He regurgitates, regurgitates the stats. As they're violently debating Eagles versus Giants tonight, the audience wants to know. It's our My Bookie game of the night. MyBookie.ag, use the promo code Knoxville. You bet, you win, you get paid. Get a lot of prop bets out for tonight's action. You got Draven in here yelling at Hayden. Hayden's on the side of the Giants.
No, I'm on neither side. This game stinks. I don't like it.
Oh, I thought you were arguing that the Giants were going to cover.
I wouldn't take either.
Oh, okay. Well, Draven's yelling at Hayden about how the Eagles are a lock.
Anyways, the Eagles are a lock, John.
Draven, this did happen one time last week. And it was reversed, so just think about it.
What does that mean?
When I was trying to convince him the whole day about this one bet, and he was like, I don't think it's a good idea. And then it backfired.
I don't think that's the point. I don't think that point proves what you want it to prove. I think that proves that Draven's a big brain and you are a small
brain.
No,
it's just saying it goes both ways.
We'll see tonight. We'll play the result.
We'll see.
Draven's coming with the thunder. Now, you could say it's gone this way before this year. I mean, like, we've had the lock of the decade. We've had a lot of locks go wrong, although Draven's been on a little bit of a heater. A little bit of one, a mini heater. He's slowly winning.
He lost last week.
I did lose last week.
What'd you lose last week?
The Eagles, man.
The Eagles.
Oh,
yeah.
The Eagles.
He's back on them.
Covered in that game. I'm not even counting that as a loss. Count as a loss, whatever, but I'm not counting that.
I mean, I agree with you. It did feel like one of those right side, wrong results. That happens. Right side, wrong result. Still counts as a nail, though.
It does. Mm-hmm. But... going to make up for it tonight. Take the Eagles over on my bookie, -5 right now. Easy. Easy. Gorgeous bet. That's too easy.
It's a beautiful bet?
Beautiful bet.
Are you getting ready for the presidential debate tonight? You're going to start speaking and saying it's wonderful? I guarantee it. The Eagles.
You cannot miss for this bet. This bet is a guarantee. You would not be wrong. You would not be wrong. Trust me. Trust me. Just do it. Just do it. Bet on the Eagles. You'll love it. Do it. Do it. You gotta do it. The Eagles are a bigly good football team. You cannot go wrong. They got Derek Barnett on that football team.
Derek Barnett really behind in the Derek Barnett-Miles Garrett competition. Derek Barnett's really fallen behind in that battle, by the way.
Yeah, he is.
What's the Eagles injury report? Can you pull up the Eagles injury report for me?
DeSean
Somebody
Jackson.
On Team Haven?
No Zach Ertz, no Miles Sanders.
Right here. Let's see. Yep. No Malik Jackson. Starting
that seems important. That's their best defensive lineman.
That's
their best defensive lineman.
They got Fletcher Buffer Cox.
They do have Fletcher Cox. But is Malik Jackson not better than him at this point?
I don't know.
Did we not say yesterday Malik Jackson was like on those top 10
lists? He was on one of those lists, yeah.
I guess he's one of the best top 10 pass rushers as a defensive tackle. I do remember seeing his name.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, keep going. Who all's out?
Alshon Jeffrey. Which Alshon Jeffrey is just a waste of a roster spot.
Alshon Jeffrey's been out.
What is he doing?
He's been out. For
what
two straight
doing?
Years.
And then you hear rumors they're going to trade him. They've been trying to trade him since last year. Like, just cut the guy. Just get rid of this guy. Just ridiculous. But he's out. He's out again. Miles Sanders, star running back, out. Zach Ertz, out. Starting tight end. Backup tight end, Dallas Goedert, out. Safety, Kevon Wallace, out. Man, they do have quite a bit of people.
Sounds like a lot of people are out.
But, Cam pointed this out. DeSean Jackson is playing.
That doesn't make me feel good about
himself.
The Eagles.
DeSean Jackson's going to run deep every play. You can't miss him. He's going to be open. He's going to
run
it.
Logan Ryan.
Logan Ryan. Ooh.
Matchup of the night.
I got to be honest. I feel like the Giants and the points here are the play.
Mm-hmm.
No.
I'm thinking that too.
Mm-mm. Eagles are third in the NFL in sacks. By the way, the Giants' offensive line is a mess. You know their fourth-round draft pick, Andrew Thomas, got benched last week because they missed a meeting?
I don't think I did know that. I don't think I've been paying much attention.
Fourth big pick time. In the draft, supposed to be
the stud. Oh, they said fourth-round pick. Okay, so fourth
pick, yeah,
okay.
My bad. Not fourth-round.
I was
going to
say, I don't really know
the
their fourth-round.
Andrew Thomas, from Georgia. He got benched last week.
These Georgia offensive linemen, Andrew Thomas and Isaiah Wilson, both of them just.
Yep. Those are the two tackles. But yeah.
Bus.
The Giants had Matt Peart, who was a fourth-round draft pick, another offensive tackle rookie, start last week. And now Andrew Thomas is coming back in. So it's just a big mess. They're just all jumbled up on the offensive line.
We don't buy anything to them winning their first game of the year. Maybe they feel a little momentum and like, hey, we can be back in first place in this game.
They should have lost. Kyle Allen just runs in the end zone, lowers his shoulder, and they lose.
They should have lost.
They lose.
But they won. I'm just asking if there's any carryover here.
Terrible. No, the Giants are terrible. How about the Eagles?
I think the Eagles are terrible.
What about the Eagles? What about their momentum? Like, hey, we just played with one of the best teams in the NFL and lost by 2 points.
And we lost two of our best players.
I don't think they could count that as playing with them. They were down 17 points for most of the damn game. You just said that yourself.
I know. Tell me about it.
They got hot over like a five-minute stretch. I wouldn't say they played with them. They caught them sleeping.
These are just – what it comes down to is these are two really bad teams.
I agree, and I always want the points when that – want the 5 points when that happens. To me, like, taking a bad team to win by more than five is usually a recipe for disaster.
Mm-hmm. When you have – but the thing is, when you have two really bad teams, but one team has a much better head coach and a much better quarterback, I'm taking that team. And they're at home.
That's sometimes a bad thing. They pump in booze against their own team in Philadelphia.
Yeah, there's been a lot of mishaps with the whole
– they were firing in booze against themselves.
That's bad.
And I don't know how good Carson Wentz is.
Carson Wentz is good. I think he proved a lot in that Ravens game.
Oh, did he? In garbage time? In garbage time?
Garbage time, if you may. But the Ravens still had their starting defense out there, that great defensive line that leads the NFL in sacks. They're second, I believe. They were still out there. They were still trying to get after Carson Wentz, and he was running for his life, throwing it up and making plays, man. It was awesome.
Dravens saying lock in the Eagles -5. I'm simply saying I will not lay the Eagles in 5 points against anybody except the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm saying. I will not let the Eagles take any of my money. They might win tonight. They might cover tonight, but they're not getting my money just simply because I've seen that song and dance too many times. That's I don't call them a cursed football team, but they are a football team that I want no part of. And then you read me that damn injury list, and pretty tough.
I mean, that's literally two of their top three players.
I mean, Miles Sanders has been out.
No, he hasn't. He's had 280-yard runs the last 2 weeks.
Well, he was out before that.
Okay. And yeah, they lost. Yes. What are you saying, Draven? What are you saying?
They have not won the last 2 weeks with him in there, have they? Have they beat Pittsburgh or Baltimore with him in the lineup?
They have played two teams close.
Those are two pretty good teams, right?
But they fell behind 17 points in both of those games and kind of got hot and flurried back. So I don't know what to believe.
But it's still two defenses with those pass rushes, and you're throwing it all the time, by the way. And Carson Wentz was still making plays. With that offensive line that's so
fine.
Beat up.
That's fine. I'm not trying to convince you otherwise. I'm simply saying I'm not taking the Eagles. I'll take the Giants, and I give it like a 4 out of 10 on the confidence scale. I'm not acting like I'm very confident about it. I'm simply saying two bad teams. I'll take the fact that it'll be a bad game, and maybe somebody sneaks out a field goal win. I might be wrong. Like I said, 4 out of 10 on the confidence scale. Hour 2 in the books, hour 3 on deck. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.